I don't know how many we prayed for tonight, but any number of this little group here. How many serious problems are out there? They need people of God out there that can pray the prayer of faith. Don't ever be shy about praying with people. They give you permission to pray. Pray the prayer of faith over them. God did not qualify Naaman. He didn't say, well, Naaman, you got to get better at this and that. And then, that. No, he just said, go and wash. I'm going to pick up at verse 14 of 2 Kings 5. Thank you, Timothy, musicians, singers. Appreciate you. 2 Kings 5:14. Then went he, being Naaman, down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. What had happened in Naaman? What really took place? There is never just, God never does a miracle without some side things going along with it. It's never just the miracle. There's something that goes along with that miracle. Something perhaps even more important happened to Naaman than getting rid of leprosy. His soul, when he was dipping, got delivered from idolatry. A real washing took place. A cleansing that went deeper than the disease. Hallelujah. His soul got washed. And I am telling you, on the 7th time when he came up, not only was the leprosy gone, but so was his sin gone. He had an experience with Almighty God. Hallelujah. He felt God, the real, true God. And we're going to see that in a minute. I'm going to try not to be too lengthy. We've spent a lot of time together this weekend. Though the king of Syria attempted to buy Naaman's cure, and that's what he thought so much of Naaman, that he would send 6,000 coins of silver and 10 talents of gold and 10 talents of silver, these change of clothes, which were not just jeans and a t-shirt, they were fabulous garments. The king of Syria did not know that he could not buy Naaman's cure. When rich people find out that they have stage 4 cancer, and when they realize that they cannot buy the cure, they have to get someplace else. In my opinion, I think the king of Israel happily took the payment and delivered nothing like any good politician. He delivered nothing for what Naaman needed. Because what Naaman needed was something more than silver and gold to take care of business. Friends, I do not want to be, it's not my goal to be judgmental or negative. But it is, as Brother Sandy mentioned last night, that we are to be watchmen on the wall. We are to be shepherds to guard our flock against nonsense. You can send ministries all kinds of money, but you can't buy salvation from any ministry. You cannot buy deliverance. You cannot buy a healing or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You cannot buy it with currency. Those things are gotten in a different way. Elisha operated in the way that leprosy could be cured, and that's the way of the Lord of glory. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company or entourage, and came and stood before him. Now Elisha gets off the couch. Now Elisha says, all right, I'll talk to you now. He looked out through the window and he saw a different Naaman. And he says to Elisha, behold, now I know, not now I think. Or now maybe. He said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Some of the Israelites ought to know that, what Naaman knew. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Is there one to bless him? I think of that young maiden that was taken into captivity now. I think of her as she's like Joseph of old. She used her slavery to save lives, to touch people and let them know about the Lord and the goodness of her God. Friends, tonight my message won't be long, I don't think, but before we get too discouraged with our circumstances, we should stop and ask, does the Lord have me here for a reason? When she was taken away from her family, brought into captivity, I'm sure she didn't realize what was going on ahead of her. But God had sent that little maiden into the household of Naaman so Naaman could be saved. Yes, so he could get rid of his leprosy, but so he could come to know the one true God. Does God have me here for a reason? Perhaps all the circumstances look negative. But we quote so easily out of Romans, all things work together for good. But we do not believe it. We quote it, but we don't believe it. God, give us the faith to believe when everything around us is negative and wrong and upside down, that God has us right where we're supposed to be. We don't know all the reasons we're there, but just know He has us there for a reason. He's going to bring us through. Now we have a rare answer to this offer of a gift. Not because it was a sin to accept a gift. I don't believe it was a sin to accept a gift. Elijah had monetary needs like anybody else. But Elisha wanted to make sure Naaman understood who did this for him. That it was not Elisha that did this for him in North Jordan River. But it was the God of Elisha that did it. When Elisha here was saying, I dare not take whatever he's offering because he might get to thinking that I'm somebody. I want him to remember who did this for him. Elisha did a rare thing. He refused to touch the glory that is reserved only for the Lord God Almighty. He said, I'll take nothing, 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 because all the glory goes to my God, who I know. Hallelujah. Modern day, listen to me carefully. And you know, when you bring these things up, people get mad at you. My goodness, I think some people have put some famous preachers on a pedestal and they're more important than Jesus. And people will defend them more than they'll defend Jesus. Any offers, hear me carefully tonight, folks of North Valley Assembly. Any offers of prayer for money, forget it. First, it won't work. And secondly, the Lord curses it. Let me say that again. First, those prayers are useless. Just as useless as the gold and silver in the hands of the king of Israel, who was not a man of God. Nothing's going to happen. You can send the money, but nothing's going to happen. And furthermore, it becomes a curse because you thought you could buy God's blessing. And for our case, Jesus has already paid it all. And he offers them, send $1,000 and the Lord will bless you. Charlatan, money grubber, greedy user of the sheep. I don't care what their name is. I don't care how big their ministry is, so-called ministry is. It doesn't matter. If you step into those kind of waters, God's not in it. It's nonsense. We've been sold a bill of goods for years upon years upon years. We have wasted thousands and millions of dollars on these charlatans that promise cures that they do not have. like the king of Israel promising. No, these guys should be more like the king of Israel. Say, hey, I'll take the money, but man, I can't help you. You cannot buy, hear me, the favor of God. Cannot buy it. You offer to the Lord in order to promote His work among people. Why we pay our tithes and offerings is to bless God and to make sure that His work is carried out around the globe. My tithes and offering is in obedience to the Spirit of the Lord, that I might bless Him, that He might take it and disperse it as He will. And as you do that, the Lord will make sure you get proper care. I never see where Elisha turned down this thing so he starved to death. No, he didn't. God takes care of us. The board was, at my first church, the board was a little taken aback. Small church, dead church, dying, I should say, not dead quite yet, but dying church, had a handful of people, and none of them were really, there was two that were nice out of that handful of people. I already told you, when they had a deacon's meeting, they were all smoking in the church. It's like, to me, that's anathema. It's like, you smoking and how? No. No. It's terrible to me. And all that. And I tried not to become their pastor. I said, Lord, get me out of here. I don't want these people. They're not nice people. I don't see any future here. Why don't you get me a good church? God knows what He's doing. In spite of my protest for the Lord, they voted me in as pastor and said, we can pay you $100 a week. And they were like, the reason they hadn't had a pastor before is because they could pay $100 a week. Nobody with a great education and stuff from their denomination wanted a church, man, $100 a week. And they said, is that going to be enough? And I said, it's going to have to be enough. If God wants me here, He'll take care of me. And furthermore, He'll take care of this church. And our finances won't be like this for very long because God knows what He is doing. It wasn't maybe 9-10 months later, I'm looking at the church's bank account and I go, I've got to figure out a way to start supporting some missionaries that I like. All they're doing is the bank account is growing and they're not paying me anymore, so I might as well start paying some missionaries. And we started giving money to the City Mission and Teen Challenge and all of those kind of things. God knows what He's doing. He is the provider. I'm sorry, but there's some really famous people and even some advisors to our president. They're charlatans. They are not true people of God. They're lying to you. They're asking you to send $1,000 for this or that. It's nonsense. Save your money. Go out to dinner. It's better spent. I know I'm not being hard. These people are being hard. They're the ones fleecing the sheep. And I'm just about tired of the sheep being fleeced. When I put my tithe or my offering in that thing, in the bag or on the shelf, I want to know that it's not making somebody rich, but it's going for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 16, Elisha says this, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. See, Elisha understood that he stood before the Lord. He wasn't worried about what Naaman thought of him. He wasn't worried about the king of Israel, what he thought of him, or the king of Syria. He said, but I stand before the Lord, and I will receive none of your gifts. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. The king of Israel took it, but Elisha didn't. Well, that's another sermon. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules' burden of earth? What on earth? I think he wanted some of the earth from Israel to take back to Syria with him so he would build an altar to God. And God says, you don't build it, you don't fashion it. You just bring the earth and let it be an altar. And I think it was his desire to serve God. He says, I need some earth to take back with me. For thy hence, my, Listen to this statement of Naaman. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! Something bigger than leprosy fell off that man. Here is a man who had great influence in the kingdom of Syria. He was second in command, and he was going back a different man than when he left. Hallelujah. He wanted to serve the one true God. Let's go on. Verse 18, in this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant. Now he's saying, now listen, brother Elijah. We're going to have a little issue here, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. He's saying, I'm not really serving him. I am honoring my boss, though, in going with him. Please understand, I will never go back to Rimmon. I will never serve Baal. I will never serve whatever idols they do back in Syria. I am sold out 100% to the God of Israel, and I will not change my mind. Look what Elijah says to him. Go in peace. Go in peace. It's all right, buddy. I don't know. Maybe we'll know in glory all the ramifications that Naaman, we don't hear anything about it. But what happened when Naaman went back to Syria? I want to know what happened to that little maid girl. I'll guarantee you she wasn't treated the same. I don't think she served him dinner anymore. I think she sat with him at dinner. I think that Naaman loved her like a daughter. That's what I think. But now, between verse 19 and 20, the story turns. And there's a lesson here. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, it was more than likely Gehazi that approached the door and Naaman at the first time and said, go and walk. My master says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. It was probably him. He was his right-hand man. Moses had Joshua. All right? Elijah had Elisha. Elisha had Gehazi. He's supposed to learn all these things from his master. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. He's saying that there is an injustice being done here. He's not making him pay. But as the Lord liveth, wow, he says this in front of the Lord, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but most sins start with a lie. Most sins start with a lie. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. Now count the lies. My master has sent me. Lie number one. Elisha did that. I wonder if Naaman was playing dumb here. Your master said, I just left his house. He said, go in peace. Everything is well, but now you're telling me the master has changed his mind. My master has sent me. Lie number one. Saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Lie number two. He's not even through one sentence. He's lied twice. Give them, he's making an assumption here that Elisha said, give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. Just some, Achan. I said just some, Achan. We'll just take a little of the bounty, the spoil of those in Jericho. I'll just take a little. Nobody will know. And Gehazi makes the same mistake. And Naaman said, all right, be content. Take 2 talents. Not one. Take 2. I have a feeling these talents are heavy. he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments and laid them, why I think it was heavy, it says, and laid them upon 2 of his servants. It took 2 servants to carry these things back. So it was no light thing. And they bear them before him. So now we have the parting of Naaman and Gehazi. Gehazi turns back around and heads back. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand. Strong young fella. He took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. He went around the back door. I almost said like OJ, but all right. But he went around in the back door and he hid the silver and the garments and he let the men go and they departed. Jagger was talking about discernment. Why would Gehazi ever think he could throw a fastball by Elisha? And he went in and stood before his master, sweaty, a little sweaty. And Elisha said unto him, hey, where are you coming from, Gehazi? You're all sweaty. You're breathing hard. What's going on? Next lie. And he said, thy servant went nowhere, no whither. I didn't, what are you talking about? I don't, another lie. And Elisha said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Is it time for that? I already turned this down, and now you're going behind my back. You're going on TV begging for money. You think God was harsh here? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee. This was his right-hand man. This is the one who helped him in ministry. But he says, you're going to have Naaman's leprosy and unto thy seed forever. That means in the generations to come, a relative of Gehazi would always have leprosy. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. In conclusion, one man came with leprosy, a Gentile and a heathen at first. He left cleansed and whole and at peace with God. Another man, the assistant to the man of God, who felt somehow entitled to some compensation, although he did nothing, though he was seemingly in the church, and he knew everything about how things got done, and he had witnessed the miracles of God and the goodness of God. He was along for the ride. In the end, it was revealed that he was a liar. He took money that didn't belong to him. He's a thief. First, he's a liar. Then he's those two talents of silver were not his. They were not to be claimed by him. And yet he took them. He's a thief. And then finally, the leprosy that was on Naaman came upon him, a sign or a signal of his sin. And it was perpetual to his generations after him. God is not stupid or easily deceived. It doesn't matter what you look like in church. It matters who you really are. Judas Iscariot looked as holy as any of the other disciples, but Jesus knew who would betray him. He knew who would kiss him with a kiss of betrayal and set him up in order to be crucified. He knew who it was and how it would be done. God cannot be fooled. People can be fooled. You know, and I know I've been hard on, and I shouldn't probably say this, that one of the worst things that's ever happened to the Christian world is Christian television. I don't want to say that out loud. with a camera, a well-placed camera, all television is and movies, really, are a bit of deception. You understand that because they only show you the angle of the camera. Whatever they want to show you, you see. And what they don't want you to see,
you don't see.
And so there's a little bit of that all going on. But let me tell you something. God knows. God knows what's going on. God knows that you installed gold-plated bathroom fixtures. God knows that you live in a $10 million estate. Off of the giving, off the offerings of poor people that are trying to get some blessing from God. And you're telling them, you send me $100 a month and you'll have it. God knows this. And as He reveals the charlatans that they are, that sin is going to stick with them and their children and their children's children. Mark the word that I am saying to you tonight. Judgment shall fall, and if you know it's already falling, it's not done falling. Judgment is falling hard upon the church of God or those that are claiming to be part of it. Most of those people that are so well known and so revealed and so respected, they're not believers. They're liars and they're thieves, and God will deal with them accordingly. I wish He would hurry up. But all of that does not negate the fact that Naaman got healed. There is the real deal. There is the real deal that God still saves. He still delivers. He still heals. Hallelujah. He still baptizes in the Holy Ghost with nobody taking a cent for it. Hallelujah. I pray, folks, you and I will be real people of God. In the very near future, we will find out even more about the Gehazis that are in the church. Some of the most respected people you're going to find out, they have secret, sinful, dark lives. And I don't like to, I'm not in the mood to say this or put anyone down or so forth. You just be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Don't waste your money. Invest your money in the kingdom of God. We are not perfect. We're not perfect. But honey, you can come and get a financial report when you want to see one. We produce one every year, an annual financial report for everybody to see, so that we can mark our stewardship of the money that comes into this place, so that it is not wasted on foolishness or anything like that, but it's invested into the kingdom of God so that this gospel gets out. There's nothing worse than feeling when you pay your tithe that you're just throwing your money away, or you know. And I know there's different cultures and so forth, you know, and I hesitate to use the word black church versus the white church, but yesterday there was a black guy came up to me and said, "Man, I've never been in a white church like this." And I said, "Well, it wasn't very white today." Anyway, he says, "I come back, I don't live here, but I come back, I'm coming here to church." I said, "All right, hallelujah." But in the black church, and Tony, you know this, they'll come, the preacher be preaching, people start laying money down on the altar. They start throwing their money down there. Like, and it's like, what are you doing? I don't know, but the preachers tend to pick it up. It's a different way, I guess. I don't know. And I'm all for blessing, the feet of the person who's bringing the gospel. I am for that, by the way, obviously. I'm for that we should take care of our pastors and our missionaries and our evangelists. We should do the best we can to help them so they're not biting their fingernails at the end of the month and so forth. God knows, you know, Debbie needs to get her nails done. But you're going to see in the very near future similar punishments as Gehazi's. You're going to see these people not only have physical difficulties, but family difficulties. All kinds of difficulties that will span generations. Because God will not have it. Even 2,000 years later. You know how he protected the church, Ananias and Sapphira? He killed them. So, oh, God's so loving. Yeah, but he'll kill you. And it was about money. God's going to take care of you. Don't worry about God. Take care of all those things. It just makes our job harder. Because I preach that Jesus saves, delivers, heals, baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and is coming back again. All right? And that's why Gehazi was slick. Deceivers are slick. They know enough to say enough truth to get to draw you in. And then they tell you, if I don't get $1 million this week, I'll be homeless. Well, I say, buddy, go be homeless. You've been selling those tribulation packets all this time. Go be homeless. All right. Watch this. Would you stand with me? I want to be God's people. I want to be Elisha's. Hallelujah. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost in power so that we might actually help people get washed. Get dipped, hallelujah, in the Jordan River and come up cleansed. And I believe that in the middle of the Lord taking care of the Gehazis, that in the midst of that, he is going to cause the people of God to rise up at the same time. He will reveal the garbage, but the real people of God will be raised up like that maid in Naaman's household. Hallelujah. You're going to make an offhand remark. Oh, that my master knew the man of God in Samaria. Oh, he would recover him from this leprosy. It'll be an offhand remark, and God will take it and run with it. Hallelujah. Lord, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for healing Naaman and all that means to us even here today, that the Lord still cleanses people and changes their lives. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you would deliver us from ourselves, pride and greed and avarice, Lord, that we would just open ourselves to you as we did this morning. That the people of Phoenix, Arizona may know that there are men and women of God in this town. That there is a place that they can run to. When money can't buy what they need, that there is a people that they can come to and they can cry out to them, and we will intercede on their behalf to get to God so eventually they can get to God. Hallelujah. Move upon us, Holy Spirit. Take away the sin. Take away our laziness. Take away our apathy. And Lord, may we dig in and become the real people of God that you've always designed for us to be. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great first part of your week. We'll be back here Wednesday evening.